Good morning, this is Mike Ryan, following Jesus, and just some thoughts this morning that I just wanted to share. Lord, I just ask that you would fill us up with your Holy Spirit, and that you would allow us to talk and meditate on things that are pleasing to you, that are pleasing in eternity, that are above this life, above the concerns and distractions of this world. Please, Lord, bless the conversation and the words that come out of my mouth, Jesus, in your name. Amen. You know, it's interesting how easy it is to start using buzzwords in our faith. And how sometimes, and we don't mean to, I'm sure we don't, but we kind of react to words like buzzwords, like when you hear the word grace or God's grace. It's a hallelujah. It's just like, oh, you know, or God's love, or the mercy of God, or God is good, and we just have these buzzwords, and as soon as we hear those words, or anyone who hears them, that's, you know, churched, or if you're in the church, or whatever it may be, everyone just gets excited without really understanding the significance of the word. And one of the words that I really wanted to talk about today that's like that is the grace of God. God's grace is so insane and powerful and transforming that, you know, it's one of those, just like prayer, and we're not talking about that right now, but it's one of those things where it's come to mean something so watered down and lukewarm that it's shocking when you actually look at the real, real biblical picture of the word. But talking about the word grace, we are constantly on the beneficiary end of God's grace all day long. And what I mean by that is that you're talking about God who made the entire universe as we know it. Even beyond that, he's made heaven, he's made hell, he's made the angels, he's made everything real, everything that exists, seen and unseen. And this God, it says in the Psalms, I believe that it may be Psalm 113, but it says that the Lord, he humbles himself to consider not only things in heaven, but things on earth, which means that God is so set apart and holy. God is such on another level than us that for him to even consider what happens on earth is humility for him. And if that's hard to picture, imagine you being concerned of what's happening in the lowest sewer right now among a family of rats. Imagine you looking into that right now. I mean, that's the last thing that'd be on your mind. It's like the Lord is, the fact that he even is mindful of you and I, it shows how great he is. And not only is he mindful, but he's come down to die for us. So the idea of grace is that the fact that God even considers us. Now listen, it says in the scriptures in Psalm 7 that God is angry with the wicked every once in a while. No, it says that God is angry with the wicked every single day. This is the same Lord that Adam and Eve, each one of them, all they had to do was sin one time. They didn't have to just, it wasn't a mistake and God said, okay, I'll give you another shot. It was just one time that they sinned. The scripture says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. Not a whole bunch of sin, just one sin is death. The reality that this same Lord, if you have been born again, if you've committed and surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, we call that belief. If you've made a commitment to the Lord that you will follow him, that you will believe in him and what he's done for you and who he is to you now, you are the beneficiary of that grace every single day. Because every day you sin, every day we deserve to go to hell. Every day our actions do something that sends us on the path to hell apart from the blood of Christ. There is not you cannot finish the day and say, man, I escaped hell by my behavior. Every day that you go to bed and rest your head on the pillow, rest assured, you ought to go to hell that day. You've done something that has offended God significantly. And yet, because of what Jesus has done on that cross, you get to say, it's forgiven. you get to know in your heart, wow, the Lord ate that for me. Not only when you finish your day can you say, wow, I'm totally forgiven, you can claim 2 Corinthians 5:21 and say, I have the righteousness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we may have the righteousness of Christ. So here's the deal. We have the righteousness of Christ. Not only are we forgiven, and does God not count it against us, but he actually gives us holy standing. As Colossians 3 says, you know, being holy, beloved. We are holy and beloved at the end of the day, after everything we've done, because of Christ. That is insane. That is insane that we can walk in that. And let me tell you something. When you really take the time to think about that and not just kind of use the word grace, but really take the time to think that the Lord has said, I am giving you the open door to grow in love. I'm giving you the open door to grow in your relationship with me. Do not let your faults and your mistakes and your flesh get in the way of that. It can't get in the way. I've purchased the road so that it can't get in the way. You can't say, oh, well, it's just my personality. I'm just a sinner. No. I'll never be able to get past this. No. The grace of God. You hear that word now? Now it feels like something. The grace of God is sufficient for you so that you can get past all your funky flesh stuff and know that you have the righteousness of Christ and still pursue to live like Jesus. You can do that because he's cleared your debt. It's like giving you a bow and arrow and putting a mark, a target on a tree, far, let's say 30 feet away or 40 feet away. And the Lord says to you, I want you to look at that arrow, look at that target. I want you to put your arms in the proper position. I want you to raise them. I want you to pull back the bow, and I want you to shoot. And every time you shoot it, you will always be bullseye. It doesn't matter if you're totally off by 30 feet. It doesn't matter if you shoot it up in the air. It doesn't matter. All I want you to do is to follow me. And I will perfect that which concerns you. I will complete that good work that I started in you. That is the most amazing promise to a person. Buddha cannot do that. Muhammad cannot do that. PlayStation, Xbox cannot do that. Having an amazing body cannot do that. Being successful cannot do that. Because all of those things bring you into bondage. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us grace so that we can come out of bondage. It is the most amazing thing. Let me give you another picture, even better, of grace that comes from the illustration given by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives an illustration from long ago about a man who pretty much was an entrepreneur, and he had a vineyard for people to work on. He goes out 6 o'clock in the morning, finds some dudes to work, and agrees to pay them a penny. Goes out again at 9 o'clock. Goes out again at 12. He goes out at 3. And then he goes out at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, and he pulls in people. Do you know how long they're going to work for? The day ends at 6. They only work for 1 hour. He calls everyone back at the end of the day shift and says, let me give you all the wages. He gives the people who worked an hour a penny. So the people who've been there since 6 o'clock start to get real excited, like, wow, he gave them a penny? Yo, if he gave them a penny for being there for an hour, how much more will he give me? Well, he's going down the line. He's rewarding the people who've been there for an hour with a penny. Grace, right? Then he comes to the people at the beginning who've been there since 6 o'clock. And what does he do? He gives them a penny. And they start to feel some type of way about it. They start to feel really upset, like, wow, how did you... Like, how do, like, I don't understand. And I want you to really picture and get a sense of how powerful the grace of God is. You see, the people who work there at 6 o'clock, they completely use grace as a buzzword. They completely forgot about the significance of grace. They thought that it was their effort that entitled them to a penny. They didn't understand that it was the seeking out of the entrepreneur and finding them and actually giving them work that allowed them to get a penny. If it wasn't for his mercy, they would still be outside and they wouldn't have anything to purchase for their family for food that night. They would be in a very bad position. They would have wasted the whole day away from their family, not having any work and still not able to bring home bread. But because they were caught up in just a buzzword of grace, and because they thought it was about how much they put on the table, they start to complain against the Lord. They didn't understand that whether they were there for an hour or whether they were there for all day long, it's God's mercy. And let me tell you something. God's mercy doesn't make the person say, well, then I guess I just shouldn't even work hard. No. God's mercy says, wow, I should have been here and he allowed me to be here. I don't care whether it's 5 hours, 6 hours, 10 hours or 1 hour. I want to give the Lord my all. I want to give the Lord my all, because they agreed to work 6 hours for a penny with no problem. He says, yo, I gave you what I agreed to give you, right? I gave you what I did the right thing. So you're going to now accuse me because I'm gracious now? Wait, you're not even going to thank me for the grace I'm giving you? And the Lord says something at the very end of this. He says something pretty interesting. He says, you know what, man? Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. And you know, look, the reality is Jesus declares in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, I believe. He says, enter through the straight gate. He says, for broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many that go therein. But narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. The reality is that what I'm sharing with you regarding Jesus Christ is something that a very small fraction of humankind, of mankind, of the human race will actually enter into, because most of us don't want to receive and walk in grace. We reject the love of God. Do you know Jesus, when he was trying to do one of his miracles in Mark, he went to a village and he couldn't even work anything in the village because there was no faith. Was God not loving? No, they rejected his love. And it's the same thing with these people in the beginning at 6 o'clock in the morning who were working there. They were rejecting the love of God. They were rejecting it. They weren't accepting it. They kept thinking about their effort and what they need to get. And it was all about them. And I just want to encourage you to walk and be strong in grace that is in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Be strong in the grace that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be strong in it. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to understand you've already been perfected and live like that. I mean, even the world gets this concept. Even the world gets this concept in this degree. When you never heard, you got to dress for the part. You got to dress for success. If you want to be a successful, dress like you're successful already. Now, here's the thing about the world. It's so funny how the world is, right? They hate the idea of faith. They hate the idea of that there really is one true living God who made everything, right? It's clearly obvious that we didn't come from nothing. Something never comes from nothing. That's clearly obvious that you don't just have living things come from non-living things. It's obvious that there's a footprint of God. Every single person has their own fingerprint. Every snowflake is different. I mean, goodness, I mean... How do you describe the atom? How do you describe the protein? How does the protein get inside an atom? A protein can't exist outside, a cell, not an atom. Protein can't exist inside a cell. How was the first cell formed, right? All these different questions, it's just clear we have an intelligent designer. It's clear that we have a God. But the world, they'll say things like, yo, just have faith. They'll say things like, it's going to be okay. Dress the part. Just believe, right? But there's no context. There's no backdrop. There's no foundation to those things. But I come along and say, you can believe because Jesus Christ is Lord and he's King. Because he's in control. Because nothing happens apart from him. And it's like, oh, no, that's not true. It's just, you know, I mean, but look, the point is that the world takes this same kind of thinking, and I think they put it into practice where they say, look, dress the part, dress like you're successful already. Well, Jesus Christ comes along to the born again Christian, he comes along to his disciple, and he says, look, you're more than a conqueror. You're already complete. First Colossians chapter 1 verse 10, you're complete in me. Hebrews 10, I perfected you. Walk like you're perfected, because you are. Not because you have to pretend like you are, because you are. Walk like you're my child, because you are. Walk like you're holy and beloved, because you are that way. because you are that way. Oh, you know, I just, the way I talk to this, the way I talked to this person, the way, the thoughts that I've had and I have sometimes, and the way I stumble and sin and all these excuses and excuse, the Lord has made it nothing but excuses. I mean, look at 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and his conversation with Paul. And Paul's like, Lord, I have these three things, or, you know, I asked you three times, excuse me, I have this thorn in my flesh is buffeting me and it's causing me this and that. And the Lord's like, look, man, my grace is enough. I knew all about that. That's why I went to the cross. That's why I took all your sin. That's why I've given you my Holy Spirit. My grace is enough for you. The holy standing that I've given you is enough. The perfection that I've assigned and appointed to you forever is enough for you to deal with that thorn that's buffeting you. And the same thing goes to you, Christian. The same thing goes to you that's listening. If you have sincerely been one of the few that's decided to place your faith in Jesus Christ, not just pretend like you're a Christian at church, not just, you know, say that you know about God, but he actually has no reality in your life apart from talking to other Christians whatsoever. You don't follow his commandments. You know, if that's the case, I encourage you, look, the window is open. Grace still applies to you. Grace still applies to you. You can come to the Lord and he'll forgive you and heal you and he'll fill you with his Holy Spirit. You'll be born again. If you sincerely commit to him as your Lord and your Savior. But Christian, you need to understand that God's grace is with you. It's with you. And I want you to understand and appreciate that word, that you are the person that came. You are that worker that if it had not been for him finding you, the only reality you would have is hell and torment for eternity. That's the reality you would have. Man, that's what you'd be looking at. This life would be the only heaven you'd ever see if it wasn't for the grace of God. You could have achieved so many things. You can die and think, man, I lived a good, full life. I raised some kids. I was successful. I helped people out when I could, just to have this shocking reality that you kept comparing yourself to other people instead of comparing yourself to the righteousness of God and realizing that you don't stand. It doesn't matter what you've done. You could have reinvented everything on the planet. Your righteousness will never be like God. Therefore, it will always be fail. But yet he's chosen you to be a joint heir, Romans 8, with his son, Jesus Christ, in whom he's given everything. No matter what you've done or said, he's opening that door for you to walk in love, to walk alongside him. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the reality of grace. Thank you for what you've done on the cross, rising from the dead on the third day to come back with power. To defeat the enemy. You've made a public spectacle of him and his accusation and his condemnation and his temptations, Lord. You've declared, my grace is better. A relationship with you is better. Lord, I just thank you, Jesus, for those powerful, powerful truths and realities, Lord. I ask you to fill every listener with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let us walk today, Lord, in love. Let us be gracious to others, Lord, as you are daily gracious to us. Access in your name, Jesus. Amen.